anybody can build a personal brand pretty much, right? But very few people can actually build a profitable personal brand.
Hello and welcome to episode 149 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by returning guests Tanya Eberhart and Michael Carr, co-founders of BrandFace, to talk all about how you can create a profitable personal brand and attract your ideal customer base. In an increasingly saturated industry such as real estate, it's vital to your success that you define a point of difference. Throughout our conversation, Tanya and Michael share their five critical questions all successful brands must answer, their proven strategies for defining their target audience, and so much more. But before we get on to today's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or a tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to today's featured interview with Tanya Eberhart and Michael Carr. This is really a conversation that could have lasted hours, so if you're interested in learning more about BrandFace, I've included several links in the episode description. Just to get things started off, for any of our listeners that didn't hear your previous interview with us almost, a year and a half ago, if you could just reintroduce yourselves to us a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I'm Tanya Eberhart. I'm the founder of BrandFace. And my personal branding journey actually started in an unusual place, which was selling vacuum cleaners door to door. I had to learn how to present and position myself uniquely to kind of get in the door because, you know, believe it or not, people don't just open their door up and say, come on in, let me get out my checkbook. And so I did that for 3 years, paid my way through most of my college at that time. And then I was discovered by somebody in the radio industry and they said, you know, you should apply for a job at my radio station. That was a radio station engineer that told me that. Well, fast forward 18 years later, I was still in the media world. That run ended in 2006. But one thing that I noticed right away is the personal branding journey was just really notched up at that point, because it was one thing to position and present myself as a poor college student, just help me out here and let me in your house, right? It was another thing to position myself to people that were founders, business owners, CEOs of a company who were spending tens of thousands of dollars a month advertising their business on radio. So immediately I got doors slammed in my face left and right, just like I did when I first started the radio or the vacuum cleaner sales. And I noticed then that if I wanted people to view me differently, I had to change the way I presented myself. And so I worked on that, and literally doors started flying open left and right because I was really positioning myself as somebody that could help them help them with their message and their story on radio and attract people to their business. And so in doing that, I thought, wow, it works for them. I mean, it works for me in helping me to get those doors open. Now I know it can work for them. So I started bringing my clients into the studio one by one and actually helping them become the face of their brand, which is where BrandFace actually came from years later. So that's how I got started. And around 2013 or so, I started writing the first book in the series called BrandFace. It was for business owners. The first one was, and that's actually when I met Michael, and I'll let Michael pick it up from here.
Yeah, I've been a serial entrepreneur for 31 years now. Started right out of high school as an auctioneer, and my mentor told me to get my real estate license. Maybe I make a little extra money on the side, calling a farm sale, something like that. So I went about two decades, maybe a decade and a half, where the bulk of my income was being an auctioneer, with a little bit of side money being a real estate auctioneer. Then things slowly shifted, started shifting after 2000, and real estate really started taking over the bulk of what I did. In 2006, I get a phone call from a company out of Irvine, California, and they're staging a sale for a bank, REO Properties in Atlanta. And I said, I can do you one better. Not only am I a broker, I'm also an auctioneer. I'm already licensed in four states. And so I went out there to see them. We formulated a plan to go after the Bear Stearns residential portfolio when they went under and got it. And we ended up auctioning off about 75% of that portfolio, somewhere in the tune of 175,000 residential units. I personally have been involved with well over 100,000, far more than any one broker on earth. I only say that because as auctioneers are working their way out of a job, you know, we're getting rid of the problems. And now we're, you know, life is returning to somewhat to normality, which happened around 2012 and 13 when we started pulling ourselves out of that debacle. I opened up a brokerage in my small suburb town north of Atlanta. And the lady that helped me open it, like 2 weeks later, is like, your marketing stinks and you need some help. And she was right. And so I didn't know it at the time, but that was her niece. Tanya's her niece. And so she was telling Tanya the same time she was telling me, you got to talk to Tanya. You got to talk to Tanya. You got to talk to Tanya. She was telling Tanya, Michael's expecting your phone call. Michael's expecting your phone call. So finally, Tanya calls me and she goes, I don't know if I'm supposed to call you. You're supposed to call me. But, you know, I help people with marketing at the time, right? Branding wasn't a huge word back then. This is 2013. Then I was mean to her. I said, look, I've had five others just like you, and I don't need another one, right? And the main reason I said I was wrong, I'd like to admit that on recording. I've never had anybody with a genius marketing and branding mind that Tanya has. She's absolutely genius at it. And now we have built thousands of brands, predominantly in the real estate market worldwide, especially in 46 states of this country. And so they have all done the same thing that she taught me to do to help really boost my brokerage and get it to grow. From in 2013, I think our gross commission income was something like 20 grand, something like that. And then, but then over the course of the next year, it quadrupled. The next year, it doubled. The next year it doubled. And we've been doing this now since 2013, working the brand face principles that we can share with your audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been enjoying seven figure gross commission income years for consistently every year since. So starting at about 2017. And so we continue to do that. We've got 22 agents now. We've got two brokerages and one in South Carolina, one here in Jefferson, Georgia. But we do business and we're still licensed in 12 states. So very interesting how the brand face principles work for real estate agents specifically. It works for any forward facing salesperson or forward, individual owner of a service based industry, lawyers, doctors, veterinarians. We've done them all. But real estate, it's really sort of a magic. If there was such a thing, it definitely will set you on track to making a lot more money and being able to, you know, justify your commissions, which is something we battle every day. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, for real estate agents, regardless if they're just, you know, brand new or if they've been in the game for a long time, but have always kind of, you know, held that flag of the brokerage and not really ever worked on their own, you know, image and things. I think it can be hard to stand out and really, you know, become that person that you're the one getting the phone calls rather than having to chase leads all the time. And I think by doing the things that we're going to be talking about here and building that brand, you're really going to, you know, prop yourself up to be that person that is being reached out to rather than doing all the reaching out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a huge difference. I realized as a broker early on, that I could set the image. I learned this from Tanya. Like I could set the overall image. I could set the ideal customers that we wanted to go after. I could set the marketing plan to put that brand to work. But I can't touch and shake hands with every client. I wish I could, right? But I realized really quick that my agents were the ones that were going to take my reputation, my experience level, the brand that Tanya built for me, and then they were going to add their own brand to it and then be that warrior on the street that is working with individual clients. And so we have 7 out of 22 real estate agents that are also professionally branded from BrandFace. And the interesting statistic to that is if you take any one of those 7, any one, they do more business than the other 15 put together. So it's very interesting how powerful dialing in your brand is to how you, the trajectory of your career and how people recognize you in your space, in your geofarming areas. It makes a huge difference and an impact on how you stand out to them. And, you know, we should be living in that world today. I have nothing against big brokerages. Man, God bless them. How they've done it, is amazing to me. But I can tell you that at the end of the day, nobody does business with a logo. And it doesn't matter how big you put that logo on a billboard. It doesn't matter how many flyers you put out or TV commercials you run. Your brokerage is for your – they're advertising for their brokerage. And you as an individual agent need to be building your own brand so the people in your area know you. It's very important.
Absolutely. So, Tanya, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was when you first started working with somebody, even working with Michael and talking about, you know, when you kind of get into that first conversation, you ask about what their branding is and how often they come back with the things that they're doing to market themselves, but not really what their brand is. How does that conversation kind of get started to get their mindset changed on things?
Well, that's such a great setup for this. And you didn't even know we really related this way, I don't think, Michael, but great setup question. We usually share the difference between marketing and branding. And so that makes everything crystal clear. And we've simplified it in such a way that I think anybody finally gets it, even because there's a lot of confusion about the difference between those two things. So here's how we define it. Marketing is using different marketing vehicles or platforms to get a message or image out to your customer. So it can be anything from billboards to radio commercials to Google ads and all of those kind of things. But your brand is that message and image that you put into those marketing vehicles to get out to the world. So if you separate those two things and you don't have a brand and you try to market without a very clear, decisive brand and what you stand for and who you're going after, then you're really going to end up marketing like everybody else in the real estate world. That's why we call it the sea of sameness. There's so much of the same type of marketing going on. It's like, I'm this person, here's my broker logo, looking, you know, to buy or sell a home. I can help, those kind of things. They're all so generic and nothing about that stands out. But when you build the brand first and you inject that, then your point of differentiation into that marketing, then that is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And so when you are, you know, kind of starting that out to first start building that personal brand, what are some of the exercises or even, you know, just the work that kind of goes into it to start figuring out, okay, this is the message that I want to project. This is really who I want to be seen as.
Well, there's two things we do right off the bat. To determine the point of differentiation, we actually have an exclusive method that we use. We call it the STAIR method. And that really takes that person on a journey through, you know, what it is they want to be known for, what kind of training they have behind it, what kind of results they want to, you know, give to their clients. So it's a process that we take them through start to finish that takes them through five major steps of that. And then once we know, okay, what is it you're known for? Now, who is going to be the best client fit for you? And that's where we, you know, talk about our HEAP code, which I think, Michael, if we were to share anything with your audience today that would really help them dial this in, definitely, we'll be glad to share our HEAP code with you because that's how we help them define their ideal customer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, Michael, it's like it could be so generic. Like in the real estate industry, let's just take residential because that's probably the bulk of what all of us work in, right? You're like, won't I sell a house or help somebody buy a house, period? Like whoever they are. Well, and the answer to all of that, of course, is yes. You're like, you're a real estate professional. If somebody knocks on your door, calls your phone, texts you, emails you, sends a smoke signal, I would like to buy a house, will you be my agent? The answer is absolutely. Right. But I want to really the listeners to think about, don't see yourself as just that. Right. Because Everybody can say that. And when it comes to pushing your agenda for your brand, you really need to be dialed in. Like, you need to the things that we're fixing to share with you will help you, because it is easy to just throw that blanket over it. It's just like, I'm a real estate agent. I help people buy houses and I help people sell houses. Yeah, but there's a lot more.
So do 2 million others.
So do 2 million other people, and probably a minimum of 100 in your neighborhood, right? And so right. How is that going to make you shine and make you memorable, so people say, when they think real estate, they think of Michael, right? Or they think of Tanya. They not just anybody can do it. So I'd like to just lay that caveat right up front, because I don't want anybody to fall in a trap of just like, I'm a real estate agent and I'll help anybody buy and sell. Yes, you will. But when you start advertising yourself to really start turning this ball and building this ecosystem that we'll talk about hopefully before the end of the show, that really drives leads from several different sources, how you're differentiated means all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not only do you have the 2 million other agents out there, but you have the open doors and everything else where people yes. are like, oh, I don't, you know, why am I even using an agent anymore?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And we battle that. We've always battled that. We've always battled it.
Yeah.
So we do, we use the HEAP. It's an acronym, H-E-A-P, heaping up lots of money, right? The H is, and I want to talk to the agents. If you've been doing this for a long time, and then you can look at past results. And if you just started today, you can still visualize the type of people that you want to fit into these categories, these four categories, okay? Because that's going to help you a lot in how you go after them. The H is people that you can help. That seems pretty easy on the front end. But as real estate agents, we tend to take that first mistake that I caveated, and we're like, oh, we'll help everybody. We'll help everybody, you know? I encourage my real estate agents to work with rentals. The reason why I do that is because, number one, the rental rates are so high right now, they are worth the commission to deal with them if you do them correctly. And then you also can spend buyers out of that. But a lot of people don't want to touch that. A lot of people say, no, it's too much work. I don't want to do it. Okay, that's fine. So that would be an example of choosing somebody you really can't help. Can I help a rental person without me overworking the situation? Can I help somebody that just is already pre-qualified? You need to think about who it is that you can specifically help.
And two, I want to get your audience out there to think a little bit beyond that box, because automatically we tend to throw them in the regular real estate categories. Okay, a first-time home buyer, an empty nester, a growing family, those kind of things. But if, like Michael said, if they're just starting out, what if it's divorced women, right? Or, you know, what if it's men who have, you know, worked at a corporate job their whole lives and now they're CEO, right? They're climbing that corporate ladder. What if it's traveling nurses? So people that have a certain occupation, or they even have a certain attribute about mm-hmm. them that you can, because you identify with those people. So I've had people in their 50s and 60s say, I love working with millennials. And I ask them, okay, why? And they say, because they remind me of my kids. And I have always had a great relationship with my kids and all of their friends, and they trust me, right? That sounds perfect to me. Mm-hmm. So when it's somebody you can help, don't just think the usual things. Think outside that box.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Come into categories of people you can help.
Absolutely. Right. Okay. So the E in the HEAP code stands for enjoy. Now, I can't say enough about this one. My favorite quote from Michael is, life's too short to dance with ugly personalities. I almost missed that one. Life's too short to dance with ugly personalities. And he's right. Nobody wants to do business with that person, right? That person that has really not been a good fit for you in the past. Trust me, if you've been in the real estate business for 6 months, you've dealt with that person.
6 minutes.
Sometimes right. It feels like 6 minutes. Yeah. So you've dealt with that person. Nobody wants to deal with that person that's just so needy or so, you know it all, right? Those are probably two of the most common. Well, if you look for people that you truly enjoy working with and fix that in your mind and also in your brand messaging, that's going to help you tremendously to craft a life and a business that you truly love.
Yeah, that's you enjoy getting up every day and doing. Mm-hmm. And the A sort of follows along with that is people that appreciate what you do. We've all had clients that knew better than we did because their grandmother bought a house 50 years ago. And we sell 10 to 100 houses a year, right? And but they'll will never be that smart, and they'll never appreciate what we do. Get away from those people. When you're advertising, you want to look for the very attributes of the people that you have had in the past that appreciated what you did, that knows that a realtor brings there a lot of expertise to the table. There are a lot of moving parts to this industry. They, you know, they people are like, oh, how can you make 6%? Well, we don't. Rarely, right? We give it away. We're incentivizing people to help us and stuff. But there are hordes of people who appreciate that and understand that it's not just some blanket line item on your Ulta statement, right? It's definitely something that you've spent money on, time and advertising and feeding her cat and watering her flowers while they're on vacation and all this stuff that great realtors do. So look for those people that identify those people that appreciate what you do.
Mm-hmm. And here's the final one. Drum roll, please, for profitable, for goodness sake.
Pretty important.
Very important. If you're not profitable, if you're not working with somebody who's profitable for you, then you're heading in the wrong direction. And in the world of real estate, we tend to immediately go for, okay, that must be $1 million plus houses. That's the most profitable one. It is profitable in more profitable in one way than selling a $500,000 house. Yes, of course. But what if there's only a certain amount of those in your farming area and you've exhausted those? Okay. Yeah. So maybe for you, a more profitable person would be somebody in that 450 zone because there are so many more of those houses, or maybe it's a certain type of client that you get along with really well. You have a lot in common personally, and you have that great relationship to the point that they're willing to refer you over and over and over again. That's very profitable.
Huge.
So don't mistake the word profit to mean more money per transaction. It's profitable in various different ways. And so that's it. It's somebody you can help, somebody you enjoy working with, someone who appreciates what you bring to the table, and someone who's profitable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like what, you know, with the people that you can help is don't think so generically about the categories, because once you can really kind of narrow down those categories, that helps later on when you're, you know, creating your content pieces to go after them. You really have a hyper-focused message that you can start putting out there.
You do. Yeah. Like one of my agents has made a small fortune working with traveling nurses. She took a cold call list that I gave her. She started calling everybody. She ends up on a doctor. He ends up buying four houses from her, but then she starts working with the nurses that he works with. They introduce her to other nurses. I mean, she's even bought houses for people that bought houses just for traveling nurses, and then had built-in clients of people that came to Atlanta, decided to stay. So, you know, this is the kind of niching that we talk about that every realtor is like scared to death of. They're like, oh, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to miss out on a commission. So, again, I want to caveat. This is where you're going to spend your money. This is where you're going to start putting out your message out there to elevate yourself and promote yourself. When that strange call comes in and that guy wants to buy that $1 million piece of property, and you usually do residential real estate and you're going to help him buy this farm, of course you're going to do that. But when it comes to you investing in yourself, you want to really get dialed in here and get to know who that person is.
Yeah, absolutely. When you are, you know, building these brands and, you know, kind of building up this message of, you know, who you're projecting, what are some of those critical questions that you need to be asking yourself to make sure that this is, you know, going to be a successful brand that you're building?
Okay. Another great setup. I love it.
Yeah.
We actually do have something we call the five critical questions that every great brand must answer. And here they are. So get out your pens, guys, or hit rewind and listen to it over and over again, because these are
very
the
important
five questions. Okay. Number one, exactly who do you serve? Exactly how do you serve them? What qualifies you to serve them? How does it make their life better? And what makes you different from everyone else who is also trying to serve that same type of customer? Those are the five questions. And if you can answer those and really dial those in, that's where the brand building process begins. Mm-hmm. Notice I didn't say where it ends. That's really where it begins, because that's where the story comes from. And that's where the language to express what sets you apart comes from. And once you dial all that in and really make it very succinct and give it great clarity, then you look at the imagery of a brand. And this is where a lot of agents get it in the reverse order, because if you were to say to most agents right now, okay, it's time for you to build a brand or rebrand or whatever it is, what's the first two things they're going to do? Oh, I need a new logo. I need a photo shoot. Those are the two things they focus on. Wrong to do first. Until you have your direction, your identifier, and your story dialed in, you have no business doing those other two things. Why? Because what kind of logo are you going to put out there? What does that logo really need to convey? What words need to be in that logo? Usually we put brand identifiers in a logo. Okay. Second thing is, what should your photo shoot portray? What kind of image are you trying to put out there? Is it more serious? Is it more fun loving? Is it, do you need props? You know, what backgrounds, those kind of things are really important. So we got to dial in the direction first and the story, and then we look at the imagery.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just, you know, from a, like just a logo perspective, like you have more of the pastel colors and the pinks, but maybe you are in an area that has a hot, you know, is where a military base is, and you are more, you know, military families coming and going. Those colors might just not, you know, sing to those people. So you really got, I think that's a fantastic way to think about it. You've got to think of the type of people that you're going after and then start building all that imagery. Yeah,
exactly. Because think about this, if you're going after the spouses of military, you know, the women, you know, the wives of military personnel, then yeah, that soft pastel might just work for you, but it depends on what else is happening with them too. Do they see themselves as much more ambitious? Those aren't my colors. They're a little too soft. I'm a little bit more assertive, you know, those kind of things. So that's why we look at 77 different criteria when we build a personal brand.
Mm-hmm. 77. I mean, that's a lot too. But you know, putting in that work at the beginning is going to set you up for the success.
Oh, it pays off, Michael. Like nobody's. There's two things to that are so important. Any listener right now that is saying, I do advertise myself. I do buy zip codes. I do, you know, maybe on the radio, maybe in a newspaper, maybe in print ads, maybe in direct mails. I'm doing that. I'm not getting any response to this. Right. I thought that same thing for 20 years until I met Tanya. And once I dialed my brand in and I knew what that messaging was and who I had it pointed to, then you're actually going to be able to see true ROI. You're going to be able to say, I'm taking on this campaign and this campaign didn't work. Okay, so I'm moving, I'm shifting over here. And you have a blueprint after that happens of how you can actually, you know, go after the clients that you want. And we call that the ecosystem. And I actually, my SEO people, my website people, my in-house marketing person, and my COO and I all meet once a month, and we go over the wheel of fortune, right? Because that pie graph shows me exactly if the billboards are working, if the radio ads are working, if the Facebook ads are working, is the referrals, you know, where do they weigh out? And so that is the goal for if you want to be a one-man shop, or if you want to build a brokerage, or if you want to build an international brokerage, you have to be able to say, I spent X and got X back. And when you dial that brand in, that's the starting point for you to be able to really calculate that. And it's a huge game changer.
Right. So for, you know, some of the folks that might be listening, they might be, you know, brand new agents, and, you know, maybe they don't have that, the business behind it, the where they can really kind of see, okay, where is, you know, where do I really do well? Where are my profitable clients? How do you work with those, you know, those brand new agents on starting to build up that, you know, idea of who they should be targeting?
I think you look at their environment, their surroundings, like, you know, the times I've heard from people say that I love working with millennials because I'm in that world right now, and I get along with my kids really well. They're friends, and they're in the millennial phase, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you are, as Michael said, well, maybe you're working in a hospital, right? Or not working in a hospital. You're working with somebody who's in a hospital, and then you tap into that ecosystem around where you already are dialed in a little bit. But it's looking at what's around you, and it literally comes back to that sphere of influence. But you look for those commonalities. And if you're just starting out, you know, people will say, well, I shouldn't build a brand now. I need to like work this business for a couple of years and then find out what I really like. It's like, no, find out what you really like and build the business that you love. Right. So there are things and attributes about people, personality, characteristics, areas of, you know, around you that you really love and you're drawn to those for a certain reason. Look at that first and then say, okay, how can we build a business around what I love? And that gives you that sphere of influence direction that you need to then point that arrow and say, I'm going this way.
Yes. Yeah. And that is the first start, your sphere of influence, right? And it for any realtor that's out there that's just getting started and you're like, how am I going to catch traction? You know a lot more people than you think you do. So if you've had any connection with them in a year, write them down and make a reconnection with them. And that's the best place to start. Well, while you're building that list, look at the ones that you know, your friends. But like Tanya said, people in the same situation as, you know, maybe you were, maybe you sold billboards or something in a previous life or something. You can pull upon all of your past life. You know, maybe you worked at a Verizon store. I recruited a guy at a Verizon store one time. He had this bank of people he had kept up with all of these years. And I mean, he just took off like a skyrocket because he just started saying, hey, you bought a phone from me. You want to buy a house from me?
Yeah.
And then he was able to niche down, you know, into the people that he really wanted to try to start sending his mail to and mail outs. And
I can give you a couple of different examples. Actually, we worked with a real estate agent who used to be a financial advisor, and they used to work in the financial advisement world. Well, over the years, they realized, holy cow, all the people that I'm working with and I'm helping to manage these millions of dollars, 90% of those people invest in real estate. So there goes their sphere of influence, right? They pulled back out of there, thought, okay, that person had dabbled in real estate just a little bit in their life, but that was a good 10, 15 years before this point. Now they're at a point where they realize what they're surrounded with and the opportunities. They can help those investors find more investments, right? And then another one is a great example of one of our clients in Whistler, British Columbia. She loved the great outdoors. She absolutely loved the Whistler area. She was a downhill skier, a cyclist, a runner, a pilot. She was on the tourism board. And so when she went to real estate, she wanted first and foremost to find people like her who just came to that area, fell in love with what the area stood for so much that they decided to invest in it. So she wanted to work with the high level investors who came there for a family vacation and realized, holy cow, this place is amazing. Let's look into buying something here, a second home, a vacation property. And so that's how she positioned herself. And so there's just two different scenarios where your surroundings give you the answer.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, and we touched on it earlier, that when you are putting together this brand and this messaging, a lot of it comes down to it's showing off why you are worth your commission and, you are worth the value that you are providing. So when it comes to actually putting together those specific, you know, I mean, it just that messaging in general to kind of take care of some of those objections right out of the gate, like to where you're not having to face those commission objections all the time. Where does that kind of fit in to the whole process of, you know, propping yourself up to be that expert?
I think that the brand brands are so powerful when you accept a brand and you put that suit on. That's your first layer of defense from anybody even asking you. Some people are still going to ask, you know, and so you have to be ready to articulate that. But in your brand messaging, that is where you can come back to that and say, let me tell you why. Right. So for my brokerage, I shot a video, and that video displayed my brand. I'm now, my brand is the Abundant Life Broker, because as I've grown in my industry, I've realized that really what I want to do through the brand face side and through my real estate side is I just want to help people be successful. And I can show them the path. I can't do the work for them, but if they're willing to pull up the bootstraps, we're going to get there and you're going to realize more money than you could ever dream of. Right. And it's there. It's there for all of us. You just have to go get it. You have to know what to do to go get that. So what I did was I made this video and I explained to people why Michael Carn Associates, anything real estate, was worth our commission. And all of the bullet points that they were going to get. We also have a sheet that's the 32 reasons why your real estate agent is worth their commission, that they can take along as a tool that they can utilize if somebody's really being pushy about that. But we have found with the front load of that, we hardly ever get any kickback about what we ask for commissions. And we're not afraid to ask for 8%, 10% on land, when a lot of our competitors are lower priced than that. But we also bring value to that is articulated in the messaging. We have a huge investor list that we built over the years. We've got a lot of repeat customers that buy from us. You know, we can just keep laying those out. So I would say that the biggest defense in building your brand is in that messaging of why you're the most powerful person for them to choose. And when you've pointed that at the person that you really want to do business with, you're not going to get a lot of kickback. Well, you're probably not going to be worth that. You know, I don't know if I can pay that. And if you do, normally it's a financial reason why they can't pay you that commission more than just downgrading your service, and which is something that we should never do as real estate agents, in my opinion. I actually learned this from another real estate agent that I hired that came on with us. If she says, I'm going to do business at 6%, and they go, oh, is there any way you can help me? And she's like, I mean, I don't know what service you want me to give up to do that. You know, I guess I could cut it to 5.75. And usually that's enough. You know what I mean? And somebody's like, okay, well, I got a little bit off of it. But she did not discount her services to the point that, because we're really only playing with a small gap right there. And if you teach your clients that gap is really a lot smaller than you think it is, because if I don't get on the MLS and offer a co-op commission, you're going to miss out on a massive amount of exposure. Right. And so once you dial that message in, you're going to get a lot less kickback on things like that.
Right. Absolutely. I think, I mean, it's got to, you know, it's all part of that, you know, finding the people that are going to appreciate you as well in your messaging. Yes, if you find sure those is. People, they're not going to be fighting you on that commission.
No, the value add is going to be apparent. And especially when your brand's dialed in, because look, NAR said it years ago, and I haven't seen a recent statistic, but 10 years ago, it was like 85% of people look you up before they do business with you. I would dare say that's in the 90s now, easy somehow, because we all have the information right here on our phone. We can just go straight to the phone right there, and then we can put in Tanya Eberhardt and find out what Tanya's about. And they were doing that 10 years ago. They are sure doing that now. And so dialing in that brand, they're going to know already what your value add proposition is already in every bit of your messaging. So they're going to know that. We have parties in here every time somebody calls and says, hey, I looked y'all up and I want to do business with you. And it happens, you know, on a weekly basis. And that just means our message is dialed in and pointed at the right people.
Yeah. And I'd like to share one more thing about as a follow-up to that. One of my favorite responses ever came from Leslie Smith in New Orleans. She's a real estate agent and an investor down there. And when we finished building her brand, she said the greatest thing. She said, well, now I no longer have any competition. Mm-hmm. Because that's so dialed in for her that you elevate and point great clarity toward yourself. Then that does get rid of your competition. There is no one else like you once you get dialed in enough. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to then ask for a top level commission and get it without any questions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something I wanted to, you talked about, and I 100% agree with it, that I imagine the numbers are got to be close to 100% now of being looked up before, you know, that call is even made, but having those content pieces and things out there. So when somebody does look you up, your website, your Instagram, wherever it is, has those things on there that is showing you as the expert in, you know, to fit their specific needs. So just having that stuff already, you know, that you're constantly doing, you're constantly adding to your social feeds that continue to prop up that brand.
Absolutely.
Social and everywhere else.
And everywhere.
Everywhere.
And it needs to be consistent. Like, don't, even if you're not active, there's a lot, there's platforms we're not active on, really. Like, we don't have a huge LinkedIn strategy at the Anything Real Estate firm. We have a bigger Facebook strategy and Instagram strategy. It does. But if you go to any of those platforms, we look the same. We have a consistency to our branding that, so when we do have staff ability and time to start a LinkedIn strategy, which we definitely will, we already have the messaging there. And we also have the, our brand displayed the same as anybody would find it on Facebook also. That just feeds the Google juice and the SEO and the optimization. Your website needs to be dialed in. That's where most people are going to find you and study up on you. And it needs to be clear why you're doing what you're doing and why that's important to them. It needs to answer those five questions that we talked about earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just with our, I mean, our Instagram page, we follow, I think there's probably like 50,000 agents around that we follow. And it's been really interesting over the past few years, seeing the different types of videos that they are now doing. It's not just the standing in front of my new listing. It's more that, you know, kind of real intimate, here's, you know, I'm going to share this, you know, education piece with you. And I love those videos. I think they're great for building up that expertise in the market.
Agreed. 100%.
That's true. And you could, you have to understand too, that with video, there has to be a strategy that is brand centered. So if an agent's out there just doing all sorts of videos and they're talking about all sorts of different things, but there's no cohesiveness that will make them remember you, you're just spending a lot of time doing videos. But if you have a strategy and a real like anchor, a brand anchor to those videos with a purpose, you know, and of course, sprinkling in some personal things, you know, that's awesome, right? We all want to do that. But at the end of the day, we have to make money. And that's why, you know, anybody can build a personal brand pretty much, right? But very few people can actually build a profitable personal brand. And that's the difference between spending a lot of unnecessary wasted time on something and having something super dialed in. Once you're, you can't possibly dial in a strategy of any kind until your brand's dialed in first.
Right. And talking about dialing that in, what are some of those, you know, key metrics and key KPIs that you're really kind of looking at to see, hey, is this working for me? Is this direction that I can, you know, should be keep going on, or do I need to pivot a little bit?
Yeah. So the biggest indicator, there's two big ones. One is, are you attracting the kind of people that you want to attract with your brand? If you're not, it is definitely in need of a rebrand. Mm-hmm. Second is, are you making money? You know, that's the most important one, because we joke around and tell people, it's not really a joke. Do not come to us if you don't want to make money. Because that's the number one thing we're going to be looking at, is positioning you properly so that you can change how you're seen and charge what you're worth. And that's what it's all about. So those two things, I mean, you know, the numbers never lie, right?
And we like to say this, it sounds tongue in cheek, it's really not. If your competitors or other people in your office don't like your brand, you're probably right on where you need to be.
Yeah,
That's hard for people to understand. Like, you know, real estate's a highly competitive business. It can be good competitive. It can be bad competitive. We don't like bad competitive. There's nothing wrong with going into an area and dominating where it's at, right? And you are going to have people that don't like you because of that. That's okay. We have a big agent in the Atlanta marketplace, and he spends a lot of money on billboards, but he has a great message. He does it exactly like a brand face. And people will say, oh, I can't stand that guy. And my first question is always, do you know him? Have you met him? And they're always like, no. I'm like, oh, so you don't like how successful he is. Okay, well, that's all right. You know what I mean? We ought to get over that, because you could be that successful.
Because he's getting over it, I assure you.
there's nothing to stop you from that. So we like to say, it's not really tongue in cheek, although it sounds it. If your office mates don't like your new brand direction, you're probably dialed in correctly. Just keep doing it. Yeah. And then when the phone rings, you'll be able to tweak those things just a little bit more, because you know, it's almost like we say it all the time. it's one of our quotes, that a great brand doesn't just change how other people see you. It changes how you see yourself. And that's so important, because now you're putting on a suit that you feel comfortable in every day, no matter what anybody else says. And you can face the challenges that come to any business confidently, right? And with clarity, without confusion. What am I doing tomorrow? Which so many realtors battle with. What am I doing tomorrow? You know, a brand's going to help you figure that out. And then you're pointing it at the people that you want. And you'll leave, it's like blinders, man. You'll leave your competitors in the dust. Yeah, and you'll enjoy working with those clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we talk about where people can find more about Brand Face and everything, because obviously this conversation could go on for hours. I mean, there really is so much that you can get into when it comes to successful, you know, personal branding. But I do want to ask you, Michael, about, you know, having your own brokerage and having agents working for you, how important it is, and really what is, trying to best word this. I know a lot of brokers do not want their agents to build those personal brands, but obviously you see the value in your agents having personal brands. I mean, gosh, you said they're more profitable than all your other agents combined. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having a brokerage out there that really, you know, kind of celebrates the individual agent in building up their own personal brand, how important do you think that is for an agent to find somewhere like that?
It's huge. And I will say, in our tenure of doing this, going on 11th year of doing this, and like I said, a lot of real estate agents, we have run into a surprisingly low amount of brokers who did not want that agent to do that. And that category is small. The ones that we've seen kick back were like a brokerage out of a house where they were the next agent up and they were a competing broker. If you have a brokerage and you don't have a competing broker, then they are going to see the value of you building your own brand and your own bank of business. Because you're taking their brand with you by state law, mm-hmm. right? You're going to be taking their logo and things that identify the corporation, the brokerage, the umbrella with you. So and it is supremely important. Like we have hundreds of stories where people, as a broker, I could tell you this, and hopefully I'm speaking to one or thousands of you, right? When your broker sees you putting effort, putting time, putting money, even tiny amounts, into your growth, it is rare a broker that will not help and support that. Very rare. If you're in the right spot, you will find that that will get you more. We've had agents tell us that, hey, I got this project where me and two other agents are the only agents in this entire building to sell 100 condos because of my branding, because those brokers saw that agent putting that time, putting that effort into it, and the success that they were reaping from it. And you know, we're all looking for that star constantly as brokers that believe and will take what you say and run with it, because you know that it works, especially in your area. So I would say to be encouraging to every one of you agents to build your own personal brand. And if your broker doesn't like it, have a conversation with them, find out why they don't like it, but just leave it in the back of your mind that you might not be in the right place. And I'm reluctant to say that because I don't want anybody jumping ships, but you will find that if you go to build your broker, build your brand, your broker is going to back your play because it's just smart business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, we could continue on this conversation so much longer, but you know, for listeners that, you know, want to find out more and want to get more of these great tips and really what you guys have to offer, Tanya, could you tell us where people could find everything?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to just learn more about us and see what other clients say about us, go to brandfacestar.com. But if you're sitting there and you think, oh my gosh, this is what I've been missing, it all seems clear to me now, let's talk about this. Let's take it to a conversation. Go to discussyourbrand.com and that'll put you to the front of the line to get on the phone with us and let's chat about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with us again.
Thank you so much, Michael, for inviting us.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
I want to thank Tanya and Michael for joining us today, and I think it's so true that with a strong personal brand and messaging strategy, you'll no longer have to fight to prove why your services are worth every penny that you deserve. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.